Oh man, where did it all go wrong? It was looking so good. Anyway, this is your boy, D-Balls, checking in from near the bottom of the bracket. Hit it, Cubs.
What is up? Welcome to the XF Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Cobe Squiz. My co-host today recently had actual shit stain on his upper lip. His former gamer tag, Baby Dre Dre, was actually talking about his penis size because it's so fucking small. It's your boy, my boy, Dre. What's up, bro?
Cobe Squiz, thank you for having me, my guy. Has anybody mentioned to you, Cody, that you really have a face for radio?
Unfortunately, multiple times.
Well, I think I speak for everyone when I can say that we all agree with that. And but we can all agree that we appreciate all the work that goes into this bad boy. We're all more addicted to the show than Vic is to Adderall. So that's obviously saying a lot.
Yes, it is. But Dre, for real, super glad that you're on the show. Let's be real. It kind of seems like players go in your team to die. How do you feel about that? That you are now the Grim Reaper of our league?
Dude, it's because there's one man to blame for this. Noah Clevinger. And he is now on the market. We've cut him from my team. And, you know, he can't seem to keep a damn person healthy. So we fired that wannabe trainer and, you know, he hit the bricks. So we're going to look better, in the coming weeks. That's for sure. I'm feeling pretty good right now, my guy. The fantasy gods were really smiling on me this week. I did play the number one ranked team in Squiz. He was the second highest scoring team in the league and threw up a fat whopping 83 points. So, all I have to say is, shaving off that stash to compromise Minshew's magic was the best thing I could have done, and I don't regret it for one second.
Yeah, you shave that dirty-ass stash, you get not only the win, but the Minshew mania is no more. Coincidence?
I don't know, man. I think, it also led to me getting lucky, so, you know. There was a win-win there, a win-win situation with the old lady too. So,
okay, that's a win-win-win.
Win all the way around, bro.
Nice. But hopefully, cut that Michael Scott reference.
You, because you asked every week, how about them Cowboys, baby?
And let's be honest, the real star of that game was the motherfucking black cat. Am I right? That fool was in the end zone more than the Giants were.
I'll take it, Bubba. Anything we can get to get that dub.
Yeah, that was an ugly first half, but still got
absolutely.
The dub.
Absolutely. And in other news, the Dolphins got their first win because Cody's doppelganger, ganger Mr. Sam Darnold, shit the bed. And Fitz stepped up and did what he had to do to get that W.
Yeah. Sorry, Sam couldn't do it. Only one team left undefeated. Man, the Niners, wow. How about that Lamar Jackson kid? Not bad. And then Russell Wilson, absolute fucking monster.
Dude, they balled out, both of those guys. Lamar is the real deal. I doubted the shit out of that fool, I will say. But, he's been stepping up, and, in other news, we are about to hit a bye week hell right now.
Come on.
That is, you know, if you're listening to this now and we've already hit the waiver wire Wednesday, and just make sure you, hopefully you didn't drop the ball and you fuckboys were paying attention and got your team together to make the moves that you need to do. Because if not, you're beat.
Yep, or your team's going to look like dog shit this week.
Dog shit, Bubba. I honestly didn't see much here other than Noah possibly starting Landry over Deontay Johnson, or Cope starting Zach Pascal, which I don't think anybody would have done last week, especially for the people he had starting in. And either of those still wouldn't have resulted in a win. I had Damian Williams on my bench with 22 points, but again, wouldn't have made a difference. So kind of weird. This was the first week that it literally didn't do anything to screw their, you know, couldn't have done anything to get a win that they didn't already do. So.
Yep, I agree.
Welcome to your Michelob Ultra Week 9 Recap Picks of the Week. First, we're going to go with the best scoring player from Week 9. I'm going to give this to, it's going to Russell Wilson. What a badass. Luis has him, he put up a fat 49 points against a Tampa Bay secondary that's not so good. But their run defense is pretty solid. But, I mean, what can you say? Russ is just balling out. He's a clear MVP candidate right now. Five TDs. I mean, 378 yards. He just keeps doing it again and again. And now he's going to get Josh Gordon, which I have him on my team, fellas. If you want him, please let him know. I am willing to trade him. So, I mean, Russ is going to just still be dangerous all year. That team looks great. And moving on... I guess our fact of the week. Sad to say, Lanyard Lewis and Corinth, Texas is closing. They're going out of business. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's our local lanyard store. They sell merchandise. Typically, you know, lanyards with your favorite teams on them. I bought a lot when I was in high school from them. A lot of cowboy stuff when I was wearing my affliction. Those were the days. White sunglasses, pulling puss like it's no other. You know, your boy Michelob Ultra, pop one off for him. So that's closing. Sorry, Weej. I know you're on suicide alert with Jacoby Brissett going down. Better luck on your next new business adventure. All right, so we got the worst coach of the week. That's going to go to Noah Clevenger. That's going to you. I had to do some digging there. Looks like you could have started Jarvis Landry and Corey Davis instead of Deontay Thompson and Stephon Diggs. You would have got the win over Keaton. Sucks to suck, but I don't disagree with you. You have to start Stephon Diggs no matter what. Johnson, he's got a trash quarterback in Rudolph. I probably would have swapped that out with Jarvis Landry, but either way, you lose. Sucks to suck. Moving on. Thanks so much, boys. It's been a pleasure. Can't wait to give you a new fact of the week next week in Week 10. Best of luck to everyone. I believe I have to win out to have a chance this year. Otherwise, I still suck, and I probably will never win this stupid, stupid fantasy league. But I love it every day.
Pick'ems. It's sponsored by Pick'ems. It's $5, you cheap fucks. Hey, congrats to Dip winning a cool $30, you faggot.
Yeah, I mean... I would probably participate in the Pick'ems more if there wasn't so many damn couch surfers that could do research on all the games in detail. Ain't nobody got time for that shit, besides y'all old busters with no job. But I'll try and do a better job of getting my picks in next week anyway. So
yeah, some of us aren't cheap fucks. You can afford $5. Some of us don't have money on hand, like Victor.
It's your boy, Mickaroo, or Mickey D, or Michelob Ultra, or Mick, or, I don't know, I'm a fucking idiot. Anyways, does society look down upon you because you look like a white-ass fucking ogre? Or you got a humpback the size of Moby Dick? Well, come on by to Mickaroo's random-ass jobs. You want to sell some desks? Mickaroo's got you covered. You want to sell some light bulbs? Mickaroo's got you covered. You want to sell some ice cream like a pedophile? Your boy, Mickaroo, has got you covered. You want to fuck some dresses? I mean, sell some dresses? Mickaroo has got you covered. Just come on by, and we'll get you a nice application, real nice, and then we'll go ahead and take a nice HD quality photo of them feet. Don't ask me questions. Anyways, come on by to Mickaroo's random-ass jobs.
Nice. All right, next step. We're going to talk about all kinds of trades from in the NFL, in the league, and in our league trade block in Trade Galore.
So DK Metcalf to Luis for Jamison Crowder and Alexander Mattison. I personally thought this was a bad trade for Luis just because he's compromising himself. He's not going to have his handcuff, you know, with an RB that has a history of injury, you know, especially as we're approaching playoffs. So, you know, DK is a nice addition to the squad. You know, I think, you know, Crowder did kind of resurface as a target machine, but DK's floor is much higher. So we're just going to have to see how it works out for Weege because, you know, it can double up with Russ and that can pay off. But shit, you better be careful with freaking Dalvin Cook. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah. An NFL update. Seattle picks up Josh Gordon off waivers now that the trade deadline has come and passed. We're really just going to be talking about trades in our league, and I believe our trade deadline is coming up later this month.
Yep. And Cobes and No-No make a trade on Tuesday morning. Noah trades away the man that broke his bank for just 2 weeks ago, and that's Ty Johnson. And he receives Sterling Shepard. Noah spent 156 fab on Ty. And so he pretty much just gave Cody 156 fab. Cody went over, you know, to the waiver wire, you know, essentially picked up a Miles Austin and traded him straight to Noah for Ty Johnson. Oh, wait, no, it was Sterling Shepard. But in all honesty, he may have a better chance of suiting up. You know, getting Miles Austin to suit up for the rest of the season. So hopefully you put a waiver wire in pick for him, Noah. You know, Cody pretty much pulled up in his van in a dark alley, pulled out some candy, got Noah to walk up to him, snatched his ass up, and did some dirty things to him and then dropped him off in a field. So that's pretty much what happened there. Pretty much anybody besides Noah, if we ever get a trade offer from Cobes and it shows up in our inbox, this is our reaction.
It's false. No way. Not this time. We created it. Not this time. No. Not this time. It's totally made up. Pure fiction. It's fiction. It's fiction. We made it up. We made this one up. It's a made up tale.
So, avoid Cody's trade offers at all costs, people.
That's what I always do. Hey, breaking news. We got a trade as of recording this podcast. Mick is sending McCoy, old man Frank Gore, his walker, and Marvin Jones to dip for Joe Mixon and Crowder. Dre, what's your quick thoughts?
Dude, I don't. There's so much stuff going on there. I was trying to analyze it. McCoy is going to run around with the ball, holding it like it's fucking Mrs. Baird's bread.
Yep.
And Gore is pretty much, I mean, he does, you know, he's been solid up until, I mean, Singletary did his thing last week, so I pretty much see that. Those are going to be a wash. I don't see those going, you know, very far. I think Marvin Jones is obviously the, you know, the thing that's the upside in this trade. But, you know, I think Dip giving away Mixon, I don't know. We'll see. It's, you know, Mixon could come on with, you know, Dalton being out. Maybe it kind of reignites the team and gives them a little bit more reason to run the ball. The offensive line is just dog shit though. You know, Crowder again, target machine. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, Crowder just was on Luis's team to Dip's team, now to Mick's team. This fool's getting passed around. Gosh. My first initial reaction to this was like, what the fuck is this? because I know Dip was trying to trade me Mixon, which is very ironic of him talking shit about trying to steal. Anyways, yeah, I think Marvin Jones, you're right. I think he was the prize in this one. And
like, really, for Mixon and Crowder is what it really is.
Yeah, McCoy, I think he'll still get some work in Kansas City, especially when Mahomes comes back. But old man Frank Gore will get a few touches here and there. And both teams actually needed help on the running back sitch. But I guess it's kind of a wash, but both of these guys suck ass. Let's take a look at the waiver wire pickups in the Waiver Wire Wednesday. We'll look at the top five most money spent. This segment is sponsored by Lugo's Lip Balm for continuous chapped ass lips. All right, number five, we got Luis spending $11 on Devondre Campbell, which is a linebacker for Atlanta, which Atlanta's defenses look like trash, but Campbell has been picking up a decent amount of tackles. In the four position, we got JC spending 12 buckaroos on Jalen Richard, which is a backup running back for Oakland, one of their pass-catching running backs, and I guess JC is hoping for an injury to the rook. And then Dip, we got spending $12 as well on Eric Reed, Mr. I Take a Knee. I'm surprised he's still in the league for how other players have been blackballed for taking knees, but Eric Reed has been pretty solid on a terrible run defense that Carolina has. Next up, we got JC again, which I feel like this is like the most money I've ever seen him spend. Cheap ass. Spending $18 on Bilal Powell, which is the catch, or I guess receiving back for the New York Jets. And then last but not least, the big money spent. Number one money spent was Noah, paying up a Jew's ransom for Jacob Hollister, which is pretty penny, but when a guy gets two touchdowns, Noah, all he sees is two dreidels in his eyes, and he just starts throwing that money. Let's get into the injuries of the week.
Oh. Ow. Ouch.
Ow. So it looks like Indianapolis Colts Jacoby Brissett exited the game after suffering a knee injury. Sorry about that, Luis. I know that hurts whenever he had some Lobodobe hands all over him, so hopefully he gets back soon.
Yeah. Yeah, Luis can't take another quarterback for the Colts going down. next up, I'm sure this is going to hit home to someone. Adam Thielen, his hammy again, man, against the Chiefs. Sorry, Bubba.
This just in, Adam Thielen is up for trade.
Dun-dun-dun.
If anybody's in.
Yeah, you wish, fool.
Hey, he'll be back. He's looking good, guys. Packers, Davante Adams is active versus the Chargers for the first time, but a little late for Pat on that one. So we will see if he can kind of trend in the right direction for that boy.
Yep, and then the undrafted Miami Dolphins wide receiver Preston Williams suffers a knee injury to the point that the fool's out for the entire year. Dip, you got so much out of him, a whole, I think, 2 weeks.
Saw that fat drop update and was like, yep, that was good. Nice contribution. DeSean Jackson, yeah, aggravated his abdomen, so doesn't look good for him. They're saying, I think he may be out for the year. So, sorry, Bert. And Cubs.
Yeah, what the fuck? Bert, I appreciate you not taking any of my traits for DJX. I appreciate you, bro. We're going to take a look at all 14 teams in the power rankings from the top of the list to the
L7 Weenie,
aka the bottom feeders. All right, if the playoffs started today, in first place, with the would be first round bye, would be Keaton and then JC. And then third, we got Queer Boy himself, Victor Gay Lugo. Next up, D. Hella quiet in our chat, but the full his team looking pretty solid. And then Burt McCrack, once again, voted last. And yet he is in fifth place. And then in sixth place, last person in the playoffs, if it started today, would be Dip. And then, unfortunately, what the fuck, I would be Bubble Man.
Bubble Boy. And then we're looking at the other two on the bubble. And then we're going, I'm going to skip the middle pack and go to the dog shits, which I am, unfortunately, in that crowd, which includes Noah, myself, D-Balls, Tizzle, and Patrick, who has had the worst luck.
Yes, he has.
What can I can say that the mustache is in is doing the best he's done this year. I'm moving up the ranks, baby. Keep your eyes open for me. Not really.
Yeah, I see that that one win streak.
Yes, sir. Luck is on my side, man. I will say I got so damn lucky against JC this week. I'll take that. You know, D-Ball's team did not look so hot. JT's team, surprisingly, you know, put up a pretty, you know, decent score at the end of the day. And, you know, be interested to kind of see where his team starts trending. I'm really pissed off he got the win against me because I was kind of hoping I could squeak that out. But, you know, he freaking dominated me when we played. And just Pat, man, I mean, this guy's got the worst luck ever. It's crazy to think that he has Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and Le'Veon Bell on the same team in a 14-man league.
And Aaron Jones.
And Aaron Jones. And he's 1-8. So I don't know. I don't know if it continues to trend that way, but we'll see. He's got a bye week, a couple people on bye this week, so we'll see if he can bounce back and, you know, put himself in a better position. But not looking so hot.
No, sir. We're going to keep it moving. Next up, we got the high versus low point of the week.
Congrats to High Point. Looks like Birdo's faggot ass takes it again. So, had a whopping 164.3 points. I wanted to talk shit and say that he was riding off the coattails of one or two players, but his overall team is a, you know, had a pretty solid performance. You know, looking back at the team Birdo drafted to where he is now, you know, I would have asked you guys if y'all wanted to see a dead body with a dress on, but he's made some money moves, put his team in a hell of a position. So, you know, this win moves him, you know, up the ranks, gives him, you know, second high point of the season. So, looking pretty good. I mean, he's still a faggot, though.
Yeah, let's be real. Everyone's a little surprised when he was starting Matthew Stafford and going forward with him, and then trade for P.J. Hawkinson and had pretty much the entire Lions roster on his roster. But wow, yeah, his team looks very solid. I still remember everyone trying to make fun of him because he was trying to trade Galladay like to literally every single person. And everybody said no, and now Galladay's looking hella nice. But low point of the week, JC, off. He was in first place, and he got low point with 83.66 points, taking that fat ass L home. Get that bald spot ready. Bert, I hope you wax that ass.
Can we have a moment of silence for JC's squad? score one out for him. And to do a recap of this year's total winners, we got Squiz at $25, Tizzle at $25, Cody at $75, Weej at $25, Bert at $50, and Vic at $25. That's pretty much where we're at.
Which brings us into Birdo's Trashing of the Week. Product disclaimer. Birdo is not reliable for any counseling you may need after he rips you a new asshole. If you don't want to be on Birdo's Trashing of the Week, please step your damn game up, you freaking faggot.
JC, at one point I truly considered your team fucking elite. You know, the top of the heap, the cream of the crop. However, after seeing what they did against Dre's team, the shit fest that is Dre's team, my man, instead of going to the Twilight Zone, you've just entered the dog shit zone, my man. Straight trash, utter garbage. The fucking crud in between mixed toes bad, my man. It's almost as bad as the time that you, and I say, quote unquote, tried to make sweet love to sweet Danica. She gave me a recorder that night, my man, and she said it was the absolute worst fucking experience of her fucking life. She can still hear the horrors of the sounds of you sounding like a fucking tortoise trying to bust a nut. With your drunk ass, fat ass, dad bod ass, humping her like a 93-year-old man trying to get one last one in right before he fucking croaks. And that's almost as bad as that fucking huge ass motherfucking target you got on the fucking top of your head, my man. At one point, I truly thought you were trying to become a man of God, trying to do your best monk impression. But then I realized, oh, he's just getting older, getting uglier, and getting balder. How sad. Fucking pathetic. I hear there's a man named Bosley. I'll get you his contact info as soon as possible. Merry Christmas, faggot. And one last thing. Your boy Dip wanted me to send a quick message for you. He said, that's karma, you bald motherfucker. Bert out. You suck ass.
This week's matchups.
So we're looking at Noah versus myself.
In the uncircumcised versus the shriveled one.
Yeah, I think looking at Noah's team, you know, two people that are going to need to step up for him this week that I think are solid starts for him. One, Deshaun Watson on his bye, and Jordan Howard on his bye as well. I think those two guys, they're in the starting lineup for Noah right now. I think those are very good plays for him. And, I think they'll work out well for him.
Yeah. If I was playing Noah, I would also suggest both of those. But the two guys I'm looking at is Derrick Henry going against Kansas City. Kansas City gives up the third most to running backs. I think Derrick Henry is going to have a huge game. And then Robbie Anderson, if my doppelganger can get him the ball against the Giants. The Giants gave up like the top five against any quarterback and wide receiver in this case.
Okay, makes sense. For myself, good night, this team. Desperation. Definitely need Damian Williams to maybe have another 90-yard breakout run that he had last week. Don't see that coming, but that would be really nice, and it would help out. And just Coleman really disappointed last week. So, playing in Seattle, pretty good on defense, but they're playing at home, so I'm hoping that maybe Seattle doesn't have an answer for Coleman, kind of like you know, whoever he played last week, I can't even remember off the top of my head, Arizona, bottled them up pretty good. So those are my two picks, I think. I hope those guys need to stand out for me.
Yeah, the two guys that I'm looking at for you is Tyler Boyd against Baltimore. I know Baltimore has a great secondary now with all three of their cornerbacks balling out, and safety, they all look great against Tom Brady last week, but now that I believe A.J. Green's coming back, I don't think Tyler Boyd will get that cornerback one on him like he has for the past 9 weeks. And then Eric Ebron, like, the dude is going against Miami. He should eat. But I have to wonder, and I'm sure every single person is, why the fuck is Andy Dalton on your freaking roster? This fool has lost his starting position on his birthday a week ago and was on a bye, and whatever reason Dre has.
The red rifle still has life.
put the rifle down, bro.
He's up for trade.
He's up for trade. Package deal with Thielen.
Then we have Bert versus Dip.
The battle of the heads. The forehead versus the bald head.
So in their breakdown here, let me see, I'm looking here. Man, Berto's really got, where the fuck does he bench everybody? He's such a weirdo.
Yeah, it's great for us.
Yeah, that's super solid. No, I mean, for him this week, I think if Manny Sanders can keep playing like he's been playing for Berto, that's a huge benefit for Bert. You know, if he can, I expect him to continue to play well, but, you know, they're incorporating him pretty well. I think it's very important that he steps up for him again. You know, there's some the usual suspects that are going to continue to do well for him. But I think versus Chicago, too, probably looking at starting Matt Stafford. I don't know. It's a toss-up. I guess if he starts Matt Stafford, he's definitely going to need to continue to do what he's been doing with Golladay. So I assume that's the route he'll go, and that guy needs to step up for him like he has been. So.
Yeah, I'm going to go with well, actually, breaking news, DeSean Jackson officially on IR as of right now. Yeah, I think Kenny Golladay obviously has to have a big game against Chicago. I think Bert's, no matter what's going to play him, but Chicago is like the worst, is like one of the best against wide receivers. I think a sneaky pick would be A.J. Brown versus Kansas City. Like, I think that may kind of somewhat be a shootout, even with Patrick Mahomes not there. If Patrick Mahomes is there, A.J. Brown is almost a must start. And then, obviously, the Mark Walton being suspended for 4 weeks is kind of a bummer to Bert after spending his life's fortune on Mark Walton.
Yep. Looking at old Dipperoo, I think he's probably going to throw in his Marvin Jones that he's going to be acquiring after the trade, probably to offset Stafford's points that Berto will probably be starting. So I think Marvin Jones having a good game is only going to help Dip in this situation, and I think that's important for him to step up. And then I really think he needs, if he's going to be starting, well, he probably actually will be benching Tyrell Williams if he has Marvin Jones in there. So, scratch Tyrell stepping up. But I think if Hawkinson has a good game at Chicago, that will be the deciding factor for Dip. If he can get like a touchdown and some solid yardage, maybe two touchdowns, I don't know. It'd be crazy, but that would also offset anything that's going Birdo's way for Stafford. So I think that he's going to leverage those two Detroit players, especially Birdo starting Stafford, to help him out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the no-brainer, Lamar Jackson. He's going against Cincinnati. Cincinnati gives a top five against quarterbacks. I think Lamar already played them and scored 30 points against them, and that was without throwing a touchdown and only having one rushing. The full rush for like 150 yards that game. And then, man, Tyler Lockett against San Fran. I think that's going to be a great game on Monday Night Football. Tyler Lockett's going to have to get past Richard Sherman. And I think it's going to be a tough matchup, but I think
Lockett's been hard, dude. That's really crazy how good that dude's been for Dip this year. So I didn't expect it.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Lockett is what, a top five, top three wide receiver? Top three. Yeah, damn. Must be nice.
Yep.
This week's podcast is sponsored by the Spotify app. When 45 minutes is way too long to endure the ugly voiced ramblings of a slow talking Lake Dallas educated lesbian, just change your playback speed to 1.5 to 2 times faster. Spotify.
Next up, we have Cobes versus Tizzle.
In the battle of the peg leg.
I think for Cobes, actually, this is pretty easy for me. These two, I think both of these players, I mean, Hunter Henry's going to ball out. Cooper's going to ball out. You know, McCaffrey's going to ball out. I think it's very important if Cody's actually going to be starting Sam Darnold. For some reason, that he does well, and Zach Pascal, if he continue, you know, if he has a game like he had last week, that's gonna really put Cody in a good position. So I think Pascal and Sam Darnold need to show up for him to be able to pull it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna go OBJ. OBJ's going against Buffalo, which is obviously a tough matchup, but OBJ's actually had some pretty decent games the past 2 weeks, at least getting in double digits. I wish he'd be getting in like 20s, not just like 10 and 14. But and then Amari Cooper, I think Amari's gonna have a pretty good game, I think, against Xavier Rhodes, or not Xavier Rhodes, but whatever, Rhodes off of Minnesota on Sunday Night Football. And so as much as it's difficult for me to go and somewhat cheer for the Cowboys, which I would never do, I will be golf clapping to Amari Cooper.
And then looking at JT's team, similar situation. I'm looking at the guys that need to do what they've been doing. To like last week, Jamal Williams is putting up Aaron Jones points pretty much. I mean, he's been fucking solid for JT for several weeks. If he can continue to do what he's doing, you know, Jamal Williams puts up, you know, high teens, you know, low 20s, and David Montgomery in the same, you know, God, Mitch Trubisky is so shitty that they've just decided, like, let's use this guy. Because Trubisky sucks so much balls. So I think if Montgomery and Jamal Williams show up for JT, that's going to be important for him to get this dub.
Yeah, if JT's a real Cowboys fan, he'll start Dak Prescott over Drew Brees this week. Just saying. And then I think Terry McLaurin, for Washington, the wide receiver, I think JT should definitely start him. And he's on a bye, but I think JT's team is so good that he could probably beat me with people on bye this week.
Next up, we got JC versus Vic.
In the Ed Hardy vest versus the wife beater.
Man. JC, your team is straight fucked this week. Oh man, I'm trying to analyze. You don't even have enough guys to put in to start, like, this week. Like, your bench, you literally couldn't even put in enough people. You're literally gonna have to drop people. Looks like, Reggie Bonifant, your starting running back, Christian McCaffrey's backup, is gonna have to have a solid week for you this week, in order for you to even have anything to talk about. And realistically, Mark Andrews is gonna have to step up for you, because I know that obviously we're coming off the bye week. Before that was Seattle. He didn't really do much, and with New England, they kind of shut him down. He wasn't even out on the field very frequently. So I think it's important Mark Andrews gets back to his, high point scoring ways that he was doing for you all throughout the early of the season. So those two guys.
Yeah, I'll do three, because all three of your wide receivers that you currently have are going against top defenses that give up the most points to wide receivers. And Christian Kirk, Michael Thomas, and Keenan Allen have some solid-ass matchups. But then again, you don't have a damn person who else to play. So, yeah.
So, looking at Vic's team, Allen Robinson is definitely going to need to have a bounce-back game after that shit show that was last week. So, 1 point is not going to do much for you. That's very important that he steps up. Cooper Kupp's going to get his. Zeke will probably get his. But my other pick will probably be Singletary as well. He had a great week last week and the week prior, so he's kind of trending in the right direction. I know he's playing Cleveland, which has been dog shit, so that'll be a pretty good game. I think it'll be competitive enough. I think he'll see the ball a lot. So I think Singletary and Allen Robinson need to have a good game for you to pull this out. I mean, shit, your fucking kicker could have a good game. You'd be able to pull this out with just your kicker.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jimmy G. The fool broke out last week unexpectedly on Thursday Night Football. And the fool was, I think, his highest point outside of the week two was like 18 points. And then this fool puts up 36, almost 37 points. And going against Seattle's defense, which isn't so great against the pass. And then Cooper Kupp, like, Cooper has probably carried your team for the most part, because Zeke hasn't put up the numbers that he normally puts up. He's still, I think, number seven running back. And then Todd Gurley has almost been non-existent these past few weeks because he's been hella hurt. But, yeah, it's hard for me to even talk good about your team, Victor. So fuck off.
Thank you. Next up, we have Keat versus the Lobe.
In Toes versus Chodes Bowl.
Yeah, I think Keaton has a couple of bye weeks here, too. So his normal squad, he doesn't have out there. But I think some of the guys he has in, if I'm going off of the people he has in right now, it would be very important for Mecole Hardman to have a big game, which is, ever since Tariq came back, last week he didn't have a good week, but the week prior to that, he's been pretty solid outside of last week's anomaly. So we'll see if he can have a good week this week. That'll help him out. They'll probably be targeting Tyreek and anybody else in Tennessee. So, also looking at Latavius, I believe Kamara is back in the mix now. I
think so. But
yeah, so we'll kind of see. I assume he's probably not going to be out there taking the full workload, but if Latavius Murray and Mecole Hardman show up, I think the other guys kind of fall into place and put you in a good position.
Yeah, I think Kenyon Drake's going to have to have a big game because Full doesn't even have any other running backs on his are eligible to play, I guess, except Peyton Barber, and Peyton Barber just got benched. And Kenyon Drake, especially with David Johnson and maybe even Chase Edmonds both coming back, at least David Johnson is he's probably going to have not probably have a great game, let's be honest. And Andy's going against Tampa Bay, which gives up the second fewest to people. But I think the big sleeper right here is going to be DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore is going to actually have a pretty big game. It's going against Green Bay. I think Green Bay actually gets up pretty big, and Carolina is playing catch up.
Yep. For the old Lobodobe, I would say probably going to, you know, I'm not 100% sure what the hell's going on with Patrick. Is he supposed to be back this week?
Maybe.
Okay, so that's obviously going to be I think it's in the right direction, but it's not a for sure at this point. But if you are going to start your new traded, newly acquired, didn't he just trade? Was it him that traded for Jameson Crowder?
It is, which has a solid matchup, too.
I'm thinking if Jameson Crowder and Golden Tate, they're actually playing each other, the Jets and the Giants. I think those two guys, if they're going at it, and they have solid games. Tate's been pretty solid for Mick ever since he got back, really. I think it's important for those two wide receivers, especially if he's starting Crowder, to have a good game for him to be in good position.
Yeah. I think Mark Ingram is going to have a pretty solid game. Last time they played Cincinnati, he had 15 points, including a touchdown in that 15. And then also, I think, which I'm sure this one's for JC, but Daniel Jones needs to be off your team so that the Giants can actually start winning, Mick. Do it for everyone, mostly JC. and then I think Travis Kelce needs to have a big game. I know he's the number two ranked tight end, but he just hasn't had like the game outside of week two that, you know, really blew everyone out of the water for a second-round pick. I'm sure Mick is wanting that fool to step up a little bit more.
Are you a sad little boy with an IQ so low that you can't even create your own email account? Well, we want you. The U.S. Army is looking for strong men and women just like you. You may have been at the bottom of your high school class, just under a boy in a helmet named Luke and his friend Buddy. But don't fret. Get a C in all your classes and we'll take your dumb ass today. Run a mile in just under 10 minutes and you're in, son. Hell, puke all over the track if you have to. Just finish. Once we get you signed up and squared away, you're off to protect and serve this fine country of ours. Just be sure not to talk to your recruiter ever again, as he already collected that commission and is into his next victim. Attend, hut! Now get your ass back in the mailroom and type up another award for company morale on that dusty-ass keyboard soldier, because America needs you. All signatures are final. No turning back after.
Next up, we got Luigi versus Patricia.
In the Frodo vs. Bozo Bowl.
Looking at Luigi's team, I think the newly acquired DK Metcalf is going to have to continue doing what he's been doing. We'll see what that acquisition of Josh Gordon does for him. I think it's going to hurt him a little bit, obviously, take away from some of his targets, but it could open it up a little bit as well and put a little bit of a lesser, corner on him. So we'll see if he can kind of, you know, open things up and do well for him. And then I also say Calvin Ridley definitely has got to step up too. He's kind of had some pretty decent games, kind of similar to Kelce though. Outside of this week two, he hasn't really had any big time games for him. So we'll see if he can step up against New Orleans, pretty tough defense, and make something happen.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's going to be playing catch up all, I guess, day since the 12 o'clock game. against New Orleans, so I agree with that. But I'm going to go Greg Olsen. I think old Greg, needs to have a huge game against Green Bay. Green Bay, I feel like it's just going to dominate this game. I thought they were going to dominate last week, but somehow they lost to the Chargers. Sorry, Dip. Anyways, and then I think Mike Williams has almost been non-existent. The fool is the 45th ranked wide receiver. He's been pretty solid the past few weeks, but nothing to be, I guess, super excited about. So I think that'd be my guys.
Patrick's team. He definitely needs Le'Veon to continue to, you know, I don't think he did super hot against Miami. Honestly, I think he had a lot of garbage time points that put him in a position to get up to 20. So I'm hoping that the game isn't looking like it was against New Orleans or, you know, Jacksonville. Definitely needs to have one of those 20-point games plus for Bell. And then he also probably needs Davante Adams to step up to be the guy that he wanted him to be, and he hopes his hopes and dreams want him to be. So we'll see if those two guys step up. I think he'll be in an okay spot.
Yeah, there's a pretty decent chance that Le'Veon Bell doesn't play this week. Actually,
they were talking about. That's right, his knee, right?
Yep.
Which, all right. Well, he has Ty Johnson,
which might be a tough thing for him. I think Jameis has to continue to throw a ton of passes. Let's be real, that team can't run the ball very well. And Jameis, at least for the most part, throws 2 touchdowns a game, but you also have him possibly throwing a minimum of 1 to 2 picks a game. Going against Arizona gives up the most points to quarterbacks, so that's an easy start. And then I think Jalen Samuels is actually a really sneaky play this week. I think with James Conner possibly not playing this week, and Jalen Samuels is going to get roughly the most touches for running back-wise. He did pretty well last week receiving, but not so much on the ground.
Next up, we have D balls versus D.
He's going to let you win because he loves dark chocolate men bowl.
I think looking at Ball's team here, you know, I think he's got to update some of his players from his bench here. But if he keeps in Juju, that dude has been up and down like a mother for him. So it's important that typically the weeks he's been doing really well for him, he's been, you know, eking out wins. So I think that shows in itself. Juju, if he has a big game against LA, that will help him tremendously. And then Melvin Gordon, you know, finally stepped up for him last week and had, like, the game we thought that he was supposed to, you know, have. So I think if Melvin Gordon can continue against Oakland, he'll be in good shape.
Yeah, this fool freaking started Raheem Mostert last week, which is hella rough. Yeah, I'm going to go with Robert Woods. I think Robert Woods, coming off a bye against Pittsburgh, is going to have a huge game. And then I think Matt Ryan, I mentioned it earlier on other matchups, that I believe Atlanta is going to be playing from behind and throwing the ball a ish load.
Mm-hmm. So looking over at D's team, I'm pretty sure he's got a bye week hell that he's dealing with right now too. That's not working out too well in his favor, but from his players that are still there, I think Gallup, you know, could have had a better game for him last week, but still managed to eke out a touchdown. I think against Minnesota, You know, they probably have Xavier Woods, Xavier Rhodes over on Amari. I don't know if they'll shadow him or not, but
let's hope not.
What they also have, was it Trey Waynes or is it Captain? I can't remember what his name is. Their other cornerback's pretty fucking solid too.
Trey Waynes, yep.
Yeah, he's fucking good. So, you know, it's gonna be either Xavier or Waynes that they're lining up against. So it's important he has a big game, I think. And then, good night. He has nobody. I assume he's probably going to start Sammy Watkins. Probably out of need to have another wide receiver start for him. And so it'll probably be important that, you know, Watkins steps up because he's kind of been this past two games doing pretty well for him. So we'll see if he can continue to trend in that direction.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Ronald Jones. He's gonna start him in place of Philip Lindsay this week, which Ronald Jones just got officially the starting position, which isn't saying much as a running back for Tampa Bay. And then I'm gonna go with Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers going against Oakland on Thursday Night Football. I think Philip Rivers plays pretty well. They obviously don't have to travel very far, and
his past game pretty shitty. So yeah, he really does need to step up.
Yeah, I mean he has a solid matchup, and if D didn't want to play Philip Rivers, he has Jacoby Brissett, which may come back this week, may not, which also has a primo matchup as well.
Our picks of the week.
All right, first up, we got Noah versus Dre. Dre, I got you in this one. I think Noah just has a ton of people out, and as of this recording, he doesn't even have a quarterback on his roster that's eligible to play.
Yeah, I'll say Noah's team looks right nice this week with Watson, Ertz, and Howard on bye. So I'm going to go ahead and say Noah's going to take this one. Let me slap you with a fat ass GG real quick, Bubba.
Damn. Burt versus Dip. I got Burt. He, of course, doesn't have anyone in his active roster, but Dip calling my ass out earlier today. So I'm going to go Burt. Fuck you, Dip.
I got Dip in this one.
Okay. Short and sweet. I respect that. Cobes versus JT. I got JT. GG, bro.
I also actually have JT this week just because Cody's dealing with a bye week hell, so, you know, we'll see.
Yes, I don't know why the NFL would put six teams on a bye in week 10, but it is what it is. All right, JC versus Vic. I'm going to go Vic. JC, you just have everyone and their mother on a bye.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Vic this one. Sorry, JC. I appreciate everything you did for my team last week, but you're on bye for sure.
Yeah. And then we got Keat versus Mick. I got Mick. Keat's running backs have just tough matchups.
Yeah, I got Mick in this one too. I think it's going to be this will probably be the closest game that we have to pay attention to, but I got Mick this one.
I agree, but let's be real. No one's going to be paying attention to that game. All right, moving on. Luis versus Pat. I got Luis in this one. Pat, your team. I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but I think at this point, I just think you're going to lose every single week.
Yeah, I got, he's got to win sometime, but I got Luis in this one. Hopkins being on bye. You know, as I talked about earlier, Devontae hasn't really showed up. I mean, kind of has, but he really needs to show up for you. So, I don't know. I think Luis might eat this one out.
Yeah, and then last but not least, we got D-Balls versus D. I got D. His team just has looked solid over the past few weeks, and I just think they keep it rolling.
I'm going to go with the Balls on this one. Just because Matt Ryan comes back, you know, you know, some of those key matchups, and if Kamara plays, so I think D-Ball's will eke this one out.
The shit talking hotline is live. Let's hope we can get some phone calls here shortly. And oh, here's our first caller.
Hey, Dip. Hey, pal. Just want you to understand that I'm going to go ahead and shove my hand so far up your fucking ass. I'm going to be able to grab that paper mache frail ass fucking spine of yours. I'm going to go ahead and pull out that motherfucker. I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to slam that motherfucker to the ground, and I'm going to drop the biggest fucking cum load on that bitch. Okay? Just want you to understand that. That's what's happening this week. Good luck, bud. Bye.
Hey, this is Mustachios, first-time caller, long-time listener. Just calling in to say I'm going to whoop that faggot-ass Noah's ass this week. He's going to be busy, you know, looking out at his porch, making sure no one's on his lawn, and I'm going to come in and beat that ass this week.
What's up? This is your favorite lesbian, XF Cobes. JT, I'm going to next Friday your ass, a.k.a. Debo you, a.k.a. knock you the fuck out!
JC, JC, JC. Damn, it's going to be a tough week for you, dude. And to think it could be worse than last week when you only had two guys on a bye week and Andre got that ass. Man, it's going to be ugly. I don't give a damn if you're voted the nicest person in our class. I am going to murder you and enjoy it. Here's some advice, bro. Hit up JT. I know he probably racked up a lot of frequent flyer miles the past few weeks with all this vacation he's taken. And just take your family out on a vacation. Don't worry about fantasy this week, man. Don't worry about fantasy. You don't want to worry about fantasy. Just take the week off, my dude. It'll be good for you.
Thanks for the phone calls, fellas. Let's close this up. All right, Shrimp Dick. I'm just playing, dog. Dre, for real, thanks for coming on. I can almost not take this serious, but I appreciate you talking football, talking shit about people, even discussing a trade in the works. I don't know. Just come into the van. Everything's going to be all right.
Folks, Squiz, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. I'd love to come back. Appreciate everything you're doing, guys, behind the scenes, people that haven't been on as co-hosts. It's a lot of work this dude's putting in, so we definitely need to be appreciative of what he's doing thus far. So hopefully at the end of the season you boys don't see me in a fucking dress. That's all I gotta say.
Yep, so if anybody wants to get on their knees and blow this not so shrimp dick, just let me know. But until next week, boys.